Scripture today is found in Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. What is a man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the seas.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for every breath that we take that sustains us to the future life that you have planned for us in the realms of glory and everything in between. Be with us now. Teach us your way, for that's the only way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sermon title is misleading. The title should be, "We are too important to God, who gave us life and gave his life to redeem us." Our spirit is on loan to us from God. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return unto God who gave it. We would not have a physical being without the Spirit of God within us that gives us functioning bodies and a spiritual life that allows us to connect with him. Our physical being allows us to interact with him as well as the others he's created. Our physical being was created after the image of God, and we're invited to develop a character after his pattern. Indeed, this is how our full potential is developed. We do not exist in some imaginary dimension or as bits of data. Our coming into being and our continued existence are dependent on his power, continually provided on our behalf. He is eternal, and he wants us to be with him forever. Those who deny God deny their essential humanity and God's plans for them and all that they can become. This is the greatest loss that they could have and the most tragic. God grieves, the universe grieves for the loss of any one of them. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God communicates to us in his word, appealing to our reason. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Between a healthy body and a thriving spiritual life, which is more essential? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A person cannot live successfully relying on his own abilities alone. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is the beginning of wisdom. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do we doubt God's ability to make things over anew again? We see people, perhaps ourselves, trudging through life. Life is only a burden, full of troubles, guilt, pain, regrets, and they don't see any way out of it. But coming to God inspires confidence and stimulates the soul to action. The body will die if deprived of suitable nourishment, and this is the way it is with the soul. In order to have spiritual strength and abundant life, it must be nourished by the Word, which is spirit and life. It must be constantly fed by the truth which connects the soul with Him in whom we live and move and have our being. As long as we have breath, the God who sustains us has a purpose in mind for us. Prayer is essential to our spiritual life. Indeed, it is essential for us to navigate successfully every day. The idea that prayer is not essential is one of Satan's most successful lies to ruin us. Think about being trapped in a sinking car filling up with water, or having a raging wildland fire sweeping towards your home. How hazardous these are to our lives. And with these thoughts, we want to thank you, Lord, for sustaining us and protecting us from innumerable threats that would so easily consume us. Now, we're only considering our physical lives, which God can easily restore like He did the first time around. But what about our eternal life? This depends on our spiritual condition. And is this not infinitely more important? The Lord is long-suffering toward us, not wanting any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to succeed. Daily prayer is essential to growth. If we would develop a character which God can accept, we must have a correct religious life. Daily prayer is as essential to growth in grace and even to spiritual life itself as is food to our physical well-being. We should habitually lift our thoughts to God in prayer, and if the mind wanders, we must bring it back. By persevering effort, habit will finally make it easy. We cannot separate ourselves from Christ with safety. We may have His presence at every step. Obtaining the victory. The Lord needs men and women who show that Christ lives in the heart, teaching, leading, and guiding them. He needs men and women of prayer who, by wrestling alone with God, obtain the victory over self and then impart to others what they have received. God accepts those. They are in His hands like clay in the hands of the potter, and He works through them. And the power of His Spirit accompanies their efforts. They realize that they are to live the life that Jesus lived, a life free from selfishness, and He enables them to bear witness for Him that draws souls to the cross of Calvary. Prayer refreshes the soul. There are rich promises for us in the Word of God. The plan of salvation is ample. We have the assurance today that Jesus lives and is making intercession for us. We cannot do good to those around us while our own souls are absent of spiritual life. There is so much that God can do for us by sending light and conviction to hearts in answer to our prayers of faith. The empty seats in our prayer meetings testify that Christians do not realize the claims of God upon them. They do not recognize their duty to make these meetings interesting and successful. They follow a monotonous routine, and people return to their homes unblessed. Communion with God is necessary. Several times each day, precious moments should be consecrated to prayer and study of the Scriptures, even if only to commit a text to memory, so that spiritual life can thrive in the soul. Communion with God is essential for spiritual health, and only in this way may we obtain the wisdom and judgment necessary for every duty of life. some people, afraid that they will suffer financial loss, neglect prayer and the assembling together for worship. They sacrifice their religious experience, which is essential to their spiritual advancement, for the things of this life, and they fail to obtain a knowledge of the divine will for them. They come short of perfecting their Christian character, and they will receive a curse rather than a blessing. All who seek Jesus find him. Do you think you have no time to pray? No time to tell the Lord, "You must keep me by your power"? Leaving the Lord out of sight will only increase our problems in life. All of us need to seek the Lord, and the grace of Christ will be evident. All who seek to find Jesus, a very present help in every time of need. Do not take your sorrows and difficulties to others. Present yourself to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. He knows just how to help you. Human friends, though they have good intentions, may lead you in the wrong way. He will receive and strengthen and comfort you. He is the great healer of all maladies. His great power of infinite love yearns over you. We heard of the tragedy with Tommy, and you know, you just wonder what the Lord has in mind for that family. But somehow it's in God's providence, and he can make things the best out of a terrible situation. His great heart of infinite love yearns over you. He sends you the message that you may recover from the snare of the enemy. You may regain your self-respect through the influence of the Spirit of God. Prayer is the life of the soul. It is just as convenient, just as essential for us to pray three times a day as it was for Daniel. Prayer is the foundation of spiritual growth. In your home, before your family, at work, you should bear witness to prayer. And when you meet your brethren, remind them of the necessity of this. If they pray, God will give us answers. We must seek if we would find, we must ask to receive, and we must knock to have the door opened. We don't have to go through life perplexed and confused, relying only on ourselves. Enoch, in the midst of his busy life, steadfastly maintained his communion with God. The greater his labors, the more constant and earnest were his prayers. Sometimes he would go away by himself to spend time hungering and thirsting for divine knowledge. In communion with God, Enoch came to reflect the divine image more and more. His face was radiant with a holy light, like the light that shines in the face of Jesus. As he came forth from these divine meetings, even the ungodly beheld his appearance with awe. His faith waxed stronger, and his love became deeper with the passage of centuries. To him, prayer was the breath of his soul. He lived in the atmosphere of heaven. As the scenes of the future were opened to him, Enoch became a preacher of righteousness, bearing God's warning messages to all who would hear. Where Cain had tried to flee from God, this prophet of God testified to the wonderful scenes that he had seen. "Behold," he declared, "the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly of their deeds." God is interested in their salvation. The men of that generation mocked his folly, who sought not gold or silver, but Enoch's heart was set upon eternal treasures. He had seen the celestial city. He had seen the king in his glory in the midst of Zion. The greater the existing iniquity, the more earnest was his longing for the home of God. While still on earth, he dwelt by faith in the realms of light. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For 300 years, Enoch had been seeking purity of heart that he might be in harmony with heaven. For 3 centuries, he had walked with God. Day by day, he had longed for a closer union. Nearer and nearer had grown the communion until God took him. He had stood at the threshold of the eternal world, only a step from the land of the blessed. And now the portals opened, and the walk with God pursued on earth continued as he passed through the gates of the holy city, the first among men. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Prayer is the breath of the soul. It is a secret of spiritual power. Who doesn't want to have power and confidence? No other means of grace has been provided to preserve the soul. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life and strengthens the sinew and muscle of the religious life. Neglect regular and frequent prayer, and you lose your hold on God. He seems less real, less vital to you. Your spiritual faculties lose their vitality, and the religious experience lacks health and vigor. This is the will of God, the Apostle Paul wrote, even your sanctification. The sanctification of the church is God's purpose in all his dealings with people. He chose them from eternity that they might be holy. He gave his Son to die for them, that they might be sanctified through obedience. And without selfishness, he requires personal surrender. And we need it. God can be honored by those who profess to believe in him only when they are conformed to his image and controlled by his Spirit. Then, as his witnesses, they will share what divine grace has done for them. True sanctification comes through the principle of love. God is love, and he that loves lives in God and God in him. When Christ abides in the heart, the life will reveal practical godliness. The character will be purified, made noble, and glorified. Pure doctrine will blend with works of righteousness, and the world will take notice. Without vision, without hope, the people perish. It occurred to me just yesterday that the truths in religious matters that we hold to be self-evident, and we may even take these for granted, we who have grown up with Adventism, but this is a human tendency. But the world does not know these things. They really don't. And they give their lives up to pursuing things that draw them from the truth, away from God. It is only at the altar of God that we can light our candles with divine fire. It is only the divine light that will reveal the insignificance, the incompetence of our efforts, and give us a clear idea of the perfection and purity of Christ. It is only when we behold Jesus that we desire to be like him. Only as we view his righteousness that we hunger and thirst to possess it. And it is only as we ask in earnest prayer that God will give us our heart's desire. When men are devoted as Elijah was and possess the faith that he had, God will reveal himself as he did then. When men plead with the Lord as Jacob did, we will get the same results. Power will come from God in answer to the prayer of faith. Because the life of Jesus was a life of constant trust, sustained by continual communion, his service for heaven did not stumble or fail. Daily he was beset by temptation, constantly opposed by the leaders of the people. Christ knew that he must strengthen his humanity by prayer. In order to be a blessing to men, He must commune with God, obtaining energy, perseverance, and steadfastness. It's always amazing to me that Christ, perfect in every way, needed to maintain ongoing communion with his Father, even though he and the Father are one. Prayer is opening the heart to God like a friend. The eye of faith will see that God is very near, and the one praying will see proof of divine love and care. The prayer that Nathanael offered came from a sincere heart, and the Master responded to him. The Lord reads our heart, and the prayer of the upright is his delight. He will not be slow to hear those who open themselves to him, sincerely feeling their weakness and unworthiness. It's a wonderful thing that unworthy, erring mortals can offer their requests to God. What higher power can man desire than this, than to be linked with the infinite God? Feeble, sinful man has the privilege of speaking to his Maker. We may speak words that reach the throne of the monarch of the universe. We may speak with Jesus as we walk through life in all its ups and downs. And he says, "I am here at your side." We may commune with God in our hearts. We may walk in companionship with him. Engaged in daily labor, we may breathe out our heart's desire, unknown to anyone else. But yet those words will not be lost. Nothing can drown the soul's desire. Ask, then, ask and ye shall receive. Ask for humility, wisdom, understanding, courage. Ask for an increase of faith. Our faith is weak at times. Every sincere prayer will be answered. It may not come as we wish, but it will come in such a way that is best. Prayer is communion with God, the source of all wisdom and strength and peace and happiness. Jesus prayed to the Father with strong crying and tears. Paul exhorts believers to pray without ceasing, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, making known their requests to God. Pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I would add the fervent prayer of an unrighteous person will avail much too, because we are all unrighteous. As workers for God, we must reach men where they are, surrounded with darkness, degraded and stained. As long as we keep our minds on him, the evil distractions around us will not hurt us. Christ in the heart, Christ in the life, that is our safety. The atmosphere of his presence will cause us to shun whatever is evil. Our spirit may be so connected with him that in thought and purpose, we will be one with him. We do not succeed by trying to be good, for that draws our attention to ourselves, and then we would think that it was our efforts that succeeded. We know that who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit." By nature, our hearts are evil. No human effort can find a remedy for the sinning soul. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. For us to pray is an exercise of faith, to believe the plain word of God, which is, we cannot change ourselves by our efforts. We need to give up on that idea. It's impossible for our minds to comprehend the work of redemption. Its mystery is beyond our ability to comprehend. Yet he who passes from death to life realizes that it is an eternal reality. Here we may experience the beginning of redemption. And as we give up on ourselves, the results will extend through eternal ages. Looking into Jesus, we obtain brighter and more distinct views of God, and by beholding, we become changed. Goodness, love for our fellow men, becomes our natural instinct. We may develop a character which is the counterpart of the divine character. Growing into his likeness, we enlarge our capacity for knowing God. More and more we enter into fellowship with the heavenly world, and we will increasingly become able to receive the riches of the knowledge and wisdom of eternity. The value of man is estimated in heaven according to his capacity to know God. This knowledge is the spring from which flows all power. God created man so that every faculty might be the faculty of the divine mind, and he is ever seeking to bring the human mind into association with himself. He offers us the privilege of cooperating with Christ in revealing his grace to the world, and we may learn more deeply of heavenly things. It is through faith and prayer that Jacob, he was a feeble and sinful man, became a prince with God. Thus, we also may become men and women of high and holy purpose, men and women who will not be swayed from truth, rightness, and justice. Life presses demands upon us, but the more difficult our circumstances and the heavier our burdens, the more we need Jesus. We acknowledge that we are powerless against our adversary, who was wily enough to fool even our parents, Adam and Eve, who were perfect from the hand of God. He stirs up untold evil in high places which are obscure to us. He brings about death and destruction. These are the hallmarks of his work. Every morning, consecrate yourselves and your children to God for that day. Make no plans for months or years, for these are not yours. One brief day is given to you. As if it were your last day on earth, work that day for the Master. Lay all your plans before him to be carried out or given up according to his providence. Take his plans instead of your own, even though that requires you to give up things you look forward to doing. In this way, your life will be molded more and more after the divine example, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We should feel the greatest gratitude that Jesus will accept this offering of ourselves. But what do we give? A sin-polluted soul for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by his blood and save from death? And yet I saw that some thought it hard to give it up. I'm ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. Do we talk about self-denial? Consider what Christ gave for us. When you think it hard that Christ requires all, remember Calvary. Those who feel the constraining love of God do not realize how little they can give, but aim for perfect conformity to the will of their Redeemer. With ardent desire, they will yield all according to the value of the prize. We cannot really know what that prize will be like, for eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. All that is lost by sin will be restored. Not only man, but the earth will be redeemed to be the eternal home of the obedient. Now God's original purpose in his creation is finally accomplished. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And Jehovah shall be king over all the earth. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. All his commandments are sure. They will last forever and ever. The sacred statutes will be honored throughout a sinless universe. And as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and the garden causes things to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. When Adam returns to Eden, when the faithful dead shall be resurrected, and the King of glory shall open before them the gates of the city of God, what beauty and glory will meet the astonished sight of those who had only seen the earth after it was cursed. It is impossible to describe Adam's joy as he beholds again the Garden of Eden. His gratitude is boundless. He first bows at the feet of the King of glory, and then with the redeemed joins them in song, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Friends, many of you are sadly deceived. You've been satisfied with something short of pure and undefiled religion. I want to arouse you. The angels of God are trying to arouse you. Oh, that the important truths in the Word of God may arouse you to a sense of your danger and need, and lead you to a thorough examination of yourself. Your heart is carnal. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But this carnal heart must be changed, and you will see such beauty and holiness that you will pant after it like the hart panteth for the water. Then you will love God and love his law. Then the yoke of Christ will be easy and his burden light. You will have trials, yet these trials, well borne, only make the journey more precious when you've conquered them. The immortal inheritance is for the self-denying Christian. Many times we're held back thinking that we're not good enough for God, but we don't know what we may become if we haven't tasted fully of him. Many of us have not been faithful, but that's part and parcel of humanity. But there's always hope as long as there's life and breath. His promises are sure. Shall we have our closing song?
Hymn number 567. 567. Have thine own way, Lord. And please stand.
I pray, power. me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit, till all shall sing Christ only always living in me.
Shall we pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You've given us this one day. May we recognize our dependence on you for life itself even, and rely more fully on you to guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.